Hey, hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
farm. I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So no. You could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Hosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show, where we bring you the happenings, trends, and opportunities from industry experts across the globe. My name is Sharon Idahosa, and I am your host. Have you explored the brand management offering Let's Talk Agriculture has in store for you? If you haven't, then I encourage you to go check it out, because these offerings are designed to help build your brand, increase visibility, and position your business as an authority while you focus on your operations. Does this sound good to you? Hurry now and visit letstalkagriculture.com or send an email to hello@letstalkagriculture.com. Once again, welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. In our previous episode, we talked about navigating currency fluctuations, and we looked at it from the farmer's perspective, where we had Jerry Toby as a guest. So right now, we want to look at it from the commodity market angle. What impact does currency fluctuation have on the commodity market? Let's find out. Now, join me welcome DJ, as he's fondly called the VP Commercials of AFEX Nigeria, and a seasoned professional, of course, in the commodity trade market. Welcome to the show, DJ. Thank you so much for joining. I appreciate you coming on the show once again.
Thanks, Sharon. It's a pleasure once again to be connected here. And yeah, it's a very, very interesting topic, especially looking at how the currency volatility has played out over the last few years. And I think people look at it more as a problem, but I think there's also a lot of opportunity in this for people to make money as well.
Okay, that is one good way to look at it. I mean, I'm not sure lots of people look at it from this direction you've just pointed right now. And I'm really looking forward to finding out what you think, what is the positive impact of the currency fluctuations right now. So thank you so much for being on the show today, because we're going to learn a lot, right, people? So tell us, I've been seeing so much work you're doing on your YouTube channel. Talking about commodity trade, how is it going for you?
Thanks. So, I started this this year. I used to write on LinkedIn in the past, but in my previous role, I had sort of a gag order where I couldn't talk about my trades anymore. So, unfortunately, back in AFEX, we are trying to sort of talk about the international markets. Our presence has been growing, thankfully. So AFEX, which is now Africa Exchange, started in Nigeria, as we probably know, but we have now expanded also to Cote d'Ivoire, Kenya, and Uganda, and we also have our offices in the US. So our activity profile across the global business is sort of increasing. And I find that probably there's a lot of scope for our African viewers, readers, and also my entire circle of clients to understand how to make sense of the commodity markets in general. There are a lot of big trading houses, and then there are very small trading houses. But for the medium level trading houses or people who are just finding their feet, I don't think there's sort of a medium that exists. And that's sort of what I'm trying to, talk about and sort of enjoy doing what I love.
Oh, well, that's really an amazing thing you're doing. I mean, this is a good avenue for people to get access to the right information. I mean, because I feel that sometimes information, access to information, the right one basically, is a major concern in the ag sector. So I think this is really a good channel for people to learn and, get more knowledge about commodities, trading, and how best they can transform their businesses from one to the other. So thank you for really pushing out your knowledge. This is what we want to see more. So thank you for pushing out your knowledge. And I'm definitely going to be attaching your YouTube channel to this particular episode so that more people can learn about it and benefit.
Thank you. That would be great, Sharon. It's very, very appreciated.
Sure, sure. So back to the gist with your girl, Sharon. I believe that the result of the currency fluctuation, it must have impacted your company's ability to trade on the international markets. I know you mentioned that there is a positive side to it, but then again, I am sure it has impacted your company negatively as well. I'm not trying to look out for something bad, but maybe if you could still share the positive part of it and the negative part of it as well, that's good. That could still go. So maybe you mind sharing more on how it has impacted your company.
Well, definitely. So, as I said, we are now present across four different countries in Africa. One of these countries, which is Cote d'Ivoire, has the currency pegged to the euro, which is the CFA. But all of the other countries have their own currencies. In Kenya, it's Kenya shillings. In Uganda, it's Uganda shillings. And typically, over the last 2 years, the currencies have been depreciating against the US dollars, which in a normal sense would make it feel that we would lose money, or anybody holding on to stocks would lose money. However, it depends on three different factors that you look at. So the first factor is to look at is how does the crop look at in terms of exports? So if it's an export denominated crop, which means that most of it or 100% of the crop is pegged for export commodities, which means it is priced in dollars or euros or pounds, then typically if the currency is depreciating, the prices in the local currency of the crop would increase. Case in point, for example, cocoa. Cocoa prices have moved from 4 million naira per metric ton to close to 9 million naira per metric ton today. And if you were holding on to cocoa, you would have more than doubled your money in the last 1 year. Now, this is a function of both the currency depreciating as well as the international market going up. But even if the international market had been stable, because of the currency depreciation, people would have still made money just by holding on to cocoa. The other side is on import substitution, which means, for example, for grains, which is maize, soybeans, sorghum, where typically these grains are produced within the country and they're also utilized or consumed within the country. There, we also have to look at import parity. So typically what would happen is if the pricing of the commodity is so high that it starts making sense to start buying from neighboring countries or even from global trade majors, then you would typically have an opportunity again to make money because you would be able to buy those commodities and trade it back to the people who need it. So again, here, today, for example, maize in Nigeria, it makes commercial sense to be able to bring in a vessel of maize and trade it to the local markets because the cost of maize here has risen disproportionately. The negative impact, these are both, as I said, one and two are actually both positive impacts. The negative impact, on the other hand, is on working capital. Typically, what happens is that if you had, for example, an X amount of money in the local currency and the prices of that has gone up, unless and until you've been able to increase your working capital by the same amount, you would not even be able to trade those volumes. And obviously, because the cost is going up, unless and until the margins also grow along with that, typically your margins per metric ton or the cost of the return on capital typically is decreasing. So those are definitely the negative impacts that come in. And that's where typically we find ourselves in the commodity trade business.
Okay, thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. But then again, you mentioned that currently for cocoa, which was selling at 4 million, and then now it's selling at 9 million. So are you trying to say, or are you encouraging farmers or traders to hold their commodities? Because this would definitely affect the price, and that is mainly because of the high demand. So if they're holding the commodities and not selling at that point when it is supposed to be sold, or the price is okay, wouldn't it be some sort of challenge, I mean, price inflation, and especially on the people as well. So I don't know, are you encouraging traders to hold their commodities just because they may be able to gain from it as well?
Well, I am actually asking for all producers to produce more. Frankly, this is an opportunity, I think, of a lifetime. Today, unfortunately, there exists no possibility for a farmer or a trader to protect their downside risk, which means that if a farmer today sees that the price is very good for cocoa, 9 million naira per metric ton, is there any way that they can go into the market and say, you know what? Block this price for me for the next year. There isn't anything. But AFEX today is trying to build that solution. That's why AFEX is the Africa Exchange. So we now have systems and processes where we might not be able to guarantee a spot rate, which means we cannot guarantee the current price, but we would be able to give them a price which is a far longer term basis than most of the other companies in the market. And that sort of allows the farmer or the producer or the trader to take a very conscious decision saying, you know what, I have a minimum price guarantee, or I have a price which might be slightly lower than what is being produced today, but that gives me ample room to now produce more so that I can then sell my cocoa at roughly an excellent price for next year. And that, I think, is the core of risk management today.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I had to dive a little bit to that angle to see, because I'm always for the benefit of the farmers, benefit of the people as well. So I just wanted to, get more information on that, so we know that we are not trying to make people go through a whole lot, because people are going through a whole lot now. I mean, so many people are holding their commodities and is
Correct, correct. And holding is never good. What is good is to trade. So if for example, what happens is this, what people forget about is this. Holding is a matter of taking a call, taking a risk in terms of quality, taking a risk in terms of pricing, and even taking a risk in terms of even having liquidity or sale for the commodity. What happens if you hold it for too long? So we have seen, for example, in the recent past, in the last 2 weeks, that the currency in Kenya has appreciated by almost 10%. All of the people were holding commodities. They were holding maize, for example. And suddenly the prices of maize came down because the prices started coming down. Now, all of these people who are holding, and if you are not holding, or if you had not bought these commodities at the right price point, now you're sitting on a 10% loss. And on top of that, there's cost of your capital, there's cost of your interest, there's cost of labor and salaries. So suddenly you end up making like a 20, 25% loss on a commodity where you should have probably made a 20% margin. And we always recommend that instead of taking a naked call, which is what we call a call without a protection, it's always best to sell majority of it and then, let's say, keep a certain position open. So if you, let's say, trade 100 tons, sell 80 metric tons out of it. Keep 20 tons open, and that's fine because that 20 tons typically will not kill you and it can still give you a very good upside. But if you try and take a position on the entire 100 tons, it's possible that whatever you could have made, you end up instead taking a loss.
Okay, thank you for dissecting that and making it very much clearer, so people know better not to hold commodities and causing an uproar here. So for FX, I believe that, of course, you are a global brand. I mean, so I believe that the currency fluctuation like may have affected or brought about challenges and opportunities. I know you mentioned the positive impact and then the negative impact. So maybe you can still throw more light on the specific challenges and opportunities the company experienced.
Sure. So the first of all is, I mean, as we said, the prices of all of the commodities over the last year have gone up significantly. And as a company, we have a certain amount of balance sheet. And basis of that, we can raise capital from the market. Even the cost of interest on top of this inflation is increasing significantly. So our ability to raise money at cheaper costs also gets impacted. So one is the ability to raise the amount of money. Second is the cost even of raising that money keeps on increasing. So that then may comes as an exchange model. We only take fees. We cannot make margins as a regulated exchange. And that puts a terrific amount of strain on the system. So now, instead of, you know, able to, let's say, make money on just 100,000 metric tons, I need to trade a certain amount of volume to even break even. And that's a huge strain on the business. And that's in an environment, as you rightly said, where my clients, my suppliers, everybody is going through the same amount of pain. The only solution that we see is sort of to grow our export products. The more volumes we do on exports, it enables us to sort of cushion the blow that we get on the national side of the business. And I think we are actively focusing also on sort of hedging these risks so that over time, across the different countries that we are in, there's also a complementarity in terms of these volumes and these currency flows.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I believe that there is some sort of collaboration that AFEX does with the farmers, of course, which is key in a commodity trading company, especially a global brand like AFEX. So how have you been able to minimize the negative effects of the currency fluctuations on their livelihood while ensuring they have, you know, stable supply of commodities for your customers?
So this is, I mean, one of the things that, you know, which people forget is that it's the farmers who produce all these commodities, and it's not the trade houses, it's not the, you know, the processor specific. It's the subsistence farmers sitting in Africa who have small holding land that produce almost 90% of the commodities that are being traded in this continent. Now, for us, it's extremely important because, as you rightly said, we work very closely with farmers. So we roughly have over 500,000 farmers that work directly on the exchange of all these 10 commodities that we deal in. Now, we have today close to 150 plus warehouses across Nigeria alone. I think overall, we've crossed 200 plus warehouses in Africa, but out of that, 150 plus are in Nigeria alone. Now, that gives us a chance to allow the farmer to bring their commodity closer to their catchment area, which is, if they produce it in X location, our idea is to get within 10, 20, 30 kilometers of that location to have a warehouse. Now, if we can have that warehouse, which we are trying to do, then basically what that allows us to enable is to sort of give them a price position advantage immediately. So a farmer then can decide to either sell the commodity immediately, or the farmer can then sort of get a payment against it and a longer term contract, which means that a farmer can then choose to say, okay, I'm going to deliver X amount of commodity over the next 6 months, 8 months, and there's the minimum price guarantee that AFEX gives them. And that, I think, is a model which traditionally does not exist as far as Africa is concerned. And that enables them also to sort of have at least a lower side guarantee, but at moving on the side and to make up on the price movement, make some gains on top.
Thank you for sharing. I think that is really an amazing approach to help farmers, you know, sustain their livelihood, because sometimes access to market is a major challenge for farmers, and then the transportation and logistics, it's really like more like a constraint for them. So knowing that whatever farmer you're working with in a specific location, you try to go closer to them to help them cut some of this costs, and for them to still maintain a good livelihood. I mean, a sustainable one at that, because I'm always, whenever I have podcasts like this, I like, should I say, interceding for the farmer, because they are major producers. I mean, just like you said, the smallholder farmers are the ones making the production and the rest. So I wouldn't want to see them suffering or going through some sort of challenge. So I'm really excited and happy about all of this, to know that there is something like this put in place to help and support our smallholder farmers. So thank you so much once again. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate the work you guys do at AFEX. And I'm glad you're on this podcast to share so that more people can benefit from this, more farmers can benefit from this. So once again, thank you for answering this question in the way I would like it to go.
It's a pleasure. AFEX exists and we started from farmers. There's no way we go without solving that problem. There are conglomerates. Conglomerates always have, let's say, a better amount of risk management, better amount of information at their hands. But for us to make sure that Africa receives the potential that they have, I think that information dissemination is important. And that has to go to the farmers free of cost. That has to go to the farmers free of encumbrances and, you know, disturbances. So we want the information flow to be direct. It has to be live and as, I'll say, distributed as possible. So that's what we are trying to achieve. And I think if we can do that, that gives them the trust, the ability, and I think the planning that they need to do to sort of make longer term decisions and I think bring more people back into agriculture. So really appreciate your podcast and the opportunity again to speak here. I do hope this keeps on growing and people and your audience also keeps on growing. And they are all, I think, involved and invested in agriculture at the end.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully there is an approach already put in place within the AFEX community or team to reach out to these farmers directly. I mean, not so many would listen to a podcast, right? So utilizing some traditional media outlets to, you know, get this word out to them is something that AFEX should really utilize to connect with more farmers. So even though we are putting out blogs, we're putting out podcasts on topics like this, there should be something or extension workers that can help them to, you know, get access to this information because not so many have access to information. So hopefully there is something already in place for that.
Well, there is, in fact, and I think I'm going to leave it to my corporate communications team to announce something. But there's something very exciting that we're doing. And it's sort of a payment gateway where the farmers are now able to sort of receive monies, whatever the trade on the exchange, directly to their wallet through one of our internal, programs. And I think it would definitely require its own probably announcement. So I'd leave that to my corporate team to sort of release. But definitely, yes, we understand that as one of the primary things that we needed to do. And I think we've found a small way to sort of make an impact.
Okay, that's amazing then. That's amazing to know. So I just want to add this last question before we call it a wrap. I know maybe I didn't put this your way, but then again, from your perspective, I mean, what are the changes in the government policies or market conditions would help to create a more stable environment for agricultural commodity trading? Amidst the fluctuations and all. What are some of, in your perspective, right? So maybe you can share, well, what changes?
I would first of all, I would say that if it fluctuates, it's fine. It's the problem that it's one directional that's created a mess. Today, if the Naira would have even not stabilized, but it would have moved between a up and a down level, a lot of this hoarding activity, a lot of this pricing activity would not really impact us. The reason would be that there would always be opportunities where the Naira would appreciate and smart people would be able to take the right call. And it would even dissuade people who are holding their dollars or people who are holding their commodities to be afraid. For the last 2 years, there's no fear. Suddenly, everybody says that, you know, as you rightly said, that if they just sit on the commodity, they think that they would make money. And that's typically not true because whatever money they make as a trader, they lose out on the cost of inflation. They lose out on other things. So it's not really helping the country and it's definitely not helping businesses in the long term. So the government needs to do something to bring I think that confidence back in the Naira. And the best way to do that is definitely communication, number one, and definitely to sort of have a long-term hedge solution for US dollar demand in the country. So that's number two. The third thing is, I think we need to make sure that people are taking right calls, which means, as for example, as you said, cocoa today is at 9 million. Sesame today, I think, is close to 2.5, 2.6 million. And all of these commodities, cashew, I think, is 1.2, 1.3 million. These prices were last year at half or one third of the commodity prices. Now, imagine somebody going into the market today and taking a position at these prices. And by any chance, these prices come back and crash in the next 3, 4, 6 months. All of these businesses, all of this capital will now be lost. There has to be some way to hedge this. So I think it's not just about FX, but I think the OTL, Nigerian Commodities Exchange, all the exchanges which are currently present across Africa, they need to be paid, put in part of government policy so that every single person, individual business who is doing a commodity transaction above a certain size should be required by law to hedge themselves and protect their risks. Without that, I think we are just encouraging speculation.
Okay, thank you for sharing that then. That we are definitely going to be looking out for the government to take action. I think I came across a particular state where the government went in to start closing out some of the warehouses of the traders that were holding their commodities. And I thought it was really an amazing move to make, because holding commodities, it doesn't just affect us that are the consumers. I mean, it also affects you as the trader, because you're losing out as well. You may think you're gaining something, right? But then again, you're also losing out. So I'm glad that the government is taking this initiative and communicating it more, so people know that this is not actually the right direction to go if we really want to have a stable, should I say, stable economy? Yes. So thank you.
I'll say a growing economy. I'm very optimistic and positive about Africa. I think yes, it's a move in the right direction. But you know, fear only goes so far. It's good to have the fear that the government can enforce. But I think if the government can take away the incentive of holding, by sort of providing some kind of impetus, some kind of, let's say, lower interest loans, which they used to do to the traders, so that they can now utilize that money to trade effectively. And this can be monitored very easily by the government, by the way. Then it automatically makes the people who are now, let's say, taking on high interest cost loans from banks and other institutions to start focusing on getting these lower interest cost loans and provide the commodity towards, you know, trading volumes to the processors. And that would control inflation, that would control the pricing, that would also control some of these issues that we are facing in terms of currency diversion. And I think basically give the country the growth that it's looking for. And that's not just Nigeria, but I think in every currency depreciating environment that we're seeing across Africa.
Thank you for sharing that. That's one solution that, I mean, hopefully that they get to realize and put in place. Maybe start bringing up some of their projects once again. I know at some point we had some projects to regulate some of this. So hopefully they start putting these things back in place. And this will help to really bring about that security that people are looking out for, because like you said, it's the fear. I mean, they can just be afraid of the whole situation, and they're making them act the way they wouldn't on a normal day, right? So, but if they can have that sense of security from the government based on the what's the word now? Maybe some of the projects that the government may decide to put in place, and low interest rates to get to move on with their trades, it would be a lot more easier. So it's not just about chasing them from holding the commodities, right? So the government has a role to play to ensure that people do not do that, because even if no matter how much you chase after them, there might still be people doing that, because you can actually find out or dig out everybody or that is actually doing that. So I think the government has a major role to play to ensure that this whole issue can be curbed.
Yeah, and I think we all are looking and waiting and watching what the government does. I think we have some very smart people in the government today, and I am really hopeful that they are definitely watching and taking the right steps for the longer term, growth of the economy. So yeah, we are all in the same boat.
Yes, we are just watching. So we hope everything gets better, to be honest. I mean, that is what we are looking out for. So yes, thank you so much for joining the podcast today and sharing your insight. I mean, we appreciate you coming on the show to talk about this issue. I mean, this would be a good opportunity for commodity traders to learn and see the best ways they can grow their businesses as well. I mean, make smart decisions for their businesses. So I appreciate you and the team at AFEX for what you're doing and the support you're giving to smallholder farmers, which really means a lot to me personally. And so thank you again, once again, for joining the show.
Thanks, Sharon. It was a pleasure. And yeah, let's keep both doing the good work that we are. And I hope that we have the kind of impact that we are trying to get both for the short and the long term. So thanks once again. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. So, guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I hope you learned from this. I hope you enjoyed. And I hope that you share this episode, because so many people would definitely benefit from this podcast. So, do well to follow us, do well to subscribe, and do well to share. Thank you so much. My name is Sharon Idahosa, and I am your host. Do have a lovely time. Bye bye.